Turn to page 578. 578. Let's stand as we sing, Trusting Jesus, Trusting in Him. 578.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly God His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine, while He leads I cannot fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger or in fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Amen. God bless you. Good singing. What a great song. What a great song. Trusting Jesus, that is all. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. Well, I want to remind you, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 goes right along with this great song. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Great promise from God's Word. And we do have these prayer lists, and I saw ushers going down the aisles and making sure that everyone had one that didn't have one. If you didn't receive one, just stick your hand up, and the ushers will get those to you. They're on the move, so they will get it to you briefly, and we want to get that in your hand. We do have some postcards down here to send out to folks. These are already addressed and stamped. Hosea Bella, and we'll go over that in a moment, and Sharon Crawford, and Helene Calabro, and so these three are down here. If you take one of those, or two, or three, and just write them an encouraging note, you'll be surprised how far that will go in someone's heart to encourage them. Let them know that someone from the church is praying for them. It kind of tells them that that their name was lifted up on Thursday night prayer meeting. Well, on our prayer request list, we have here at the top of the list, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. Pray for those in authority over us. Praying for our president and all of our government officials. Pastor may say some more about that in just a little while, about some recent events that took place. Pray for the peace of Israel and our missionaries serving in the Middle East. And then pray for the upcoming elections in 2016. It's just going to get crazier and crazier. I don't think it's going to get any more clear, perhaps, but we're praying that God's wisdom would be upon this nation and that they would seek his direction. Pray for the Southwide Baptist Fellowship meeting. This is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A bunch of us are leaving on Monday morning and headed on the bus. Pray for Journey Mercies, if you will. And then also pray that God will use this meeting in a marvelous way to spark revival in churches across this country. There'll be delegations like ours coming from different churches across the country. And so we're looking forward to this. And of course, Pastor Reynolds is going to be leading the singing for this. And so we know the music will be great. And the preaching is always a blessing. Mrs. Reynolds will be playing the piano for the conference as well. And so that'll be a wonderful thing. Pray for Naomi Borland, if you will. She was in the hospital with heart rhythm problems. Pray for her. She had a procedure, an ablation earlier this week, and she's now at home. Pray as she recovers, please. And Johnny Terwilliger's wife, Amy, gave birth to baby boy. Pray for Lucas. He is doing better, and we're thankful for that. Progressing. He's still in the NICU, I believe, but we're praying for him as he continues to gain strength, and appreciate your prayers. Helen Calabro had surgery for melanoma, and they referred her to the Mayo Clinic. She's going to be going there tomorrow. So if you will, please pray for Helen. Peggy Clifford, as we mentioned last week, she had this stroke, but she is recovering famously. And we are so thrilled. She's still at Sanford. At least she was on yesterday, still at Sanford in the rehab unit. But she is looking great and just talking up a storm. And you know Peggy, former teacher, 47 years teaching, and she has such a sweet spirit about her. And I pray for her, if you will. Jose Abella was taken to the ER last week. Now this gentleman, he's a husband, a father, and his children in the homeschool group. I understand he has lesions on his liver and is recovering from pancreatic cancer. And so if you'll pray for Jose, please. Lisa Still, Terry and Lisa Still, they sit about four rows back right here on this section. Lisa Still's sister passed away. Her name's Michelle. And she had brain surgery for tumors and this kind of thing some time ago. And she's that left her not able to function the way that she would like, and she needed a lot of care, but her spirits were so good. And we had the privilege of talking with her even after the surgery there in her home, and she gave that clear presentation of her testimony that she knows Jesus Christ, her Savior. And let's see, that would be on Monday evening, she met him face to face. So please pray for the Still family. Now, it says no arrangements yet are made, but we do have arrangements now. There'll be a funeral service at Gamco Funeral Home in Sanford. That's right off of Airport Boulevard, and that's at 7 o'clock. And everyone's welcome to attend. There'll be no viewing, per se, just maybe prior to the service and this memorial service for Michelle. So please pray for their family, if you will. Tom Waters was in the hospital this week. He's now at home. We're thankful for that. And Sharon Crawford is in the hospital at Fish, and please pray for her. Such a sweet, dear lady. They sit right down here, and pray for her, if you will. She recovers. They're trying their best to help her. Congestive heart failure and these kinds of things. So pray for her. And then these folks will continue to remember in prayer: Mark Fleming, Mary Butler, Terry Shaw, Ruth Reitmeyer and Jean Ann Godby, Rod Mills and Gary Sherrill, Rick Elkins, Gary Moat and David Goss, Nancy Deason's father and mother, Andy Floyd, Carol Alderman and Lynn Robinson, Lou Sukup's neighbor Daryl, and Bob Williams and Lydia Buck, Steve Jacobs and Anita Boyd, who is back in the hospital now. So pray for Anita about that as well. Alan Jackson family is one of our missionaries that we're focusing on and drawing attention to. Their ministry is in Honduras. If you have not gone back to the missionary board to see where some of these places are, I encourage you to go back there and scroll through, find the name and find them on the map and read about them. And so the Alan Jackson family and also the Richard Jerkberg family in Madagascar. And these that are listed here, the nursing homes and the armed forces, and we're so thankful for these standing in our stead. Pastor, if you'll come, please.
I feel like the fans said, I'm glad to be here tonight. He said, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. I don't know what happened. I lost September. I lost it. And I don't know what happened. But anyway, I'm back, and I'm glad to be back. And I'll say just a word about the trip to Poland, because many of you gave in support of that mission trip. And I appreciate that very, very much. And the people there ask that I convey to you their appreciation. I must say that I left with a heavy heart because, first of all, I just wanted to speak Polish. I just wanted to. Now, I had an interpreter, a good interpreter, and a guy who understands everything I was saying and understands what we believe. And, you know, he's the pastor of the church that I went for to be with. I preached in two other churches while I was there. But it's just a dark place. Spiritually dark place. I preached in two churches in Warsaw. Together they may have 150, 175 people total in a town of over 2 million people. They're the largest churches in town of our kinds of churches. And it's just sad. And it's so sad to me, and I don't know who might be watching tonight, but it's so sad to me that they are perfectly content with that. And I want to shake them. Wake up. You've got a job to do. But it's just, to me, that's sad. But I had good trip, good connections over. I did not have one late flight. Not one flight was delayed, and they didn't lose my luggage. And going or coming, I don't worry about coming back because you know I got clothes at home, but I don't have any clothes over there. But everything was right on schedule, and sometimes a little too close. Especially in the Paris airport, and the Paris airport is a totally unfamiliar airport to me, though I've been through it a couple of times. It's just not a familiar airport, and traveling with a different airline, you just have to find your way around. And a lot of people there, and I had an hour and 15 minutes on an international flight to change planes, and that's pretty tight. But everything was fine and on time, and it worked real good. There was wonderful, wonderful response among the Christians to the teaching that was there in all three churches. And it was just refreshing to see the people, particularly in Warsaw at the Bible Baptist Church, to see them again and to renew friendships with the people there. But it's just, and to see the growth among the Christians that are there. But it's just, you just yearn to see an impact for the gospel. And so I hope you'll pray for that. Pray for that situation. Pray for the folks there in Poland and the church there. I want you to pray also. I'm going to ask Herb Christian, if you will. Herb, I think I saw you. Yeah, come on up to the platform, if you will, and lead us in prayer in just a moment. And I want you to pray for Nina Lyles. Jim and Nina, of course, sit right down here on the front row. Her aunt passed away, and that was the last member of the family, and of her family, of older folks in their family. And so they're traveling to go to that service, and then they'll meet us at Southwide in Winston-Salem. They'll be there for that. And so I hope you will pray for them. I assured them that we would be praying for them. And so many requests that are on here and all the requests that are before us. I want you to pray about something. I just simply ask you to pray about this. This is not political, though it has to do with politics. I want you to pray for the House of Representatives. That thing is a mess right now. But God has given some victory in some ways. Now, I'll just be honest with you up front. Honest with you, I'm praying for Daniel Webster to be Speaker of the House. The first miracle for that to take place happened today. When McCarthy dropped out of the race and he was the hand-down favorite to win, and the hand-picked man of the present Speaker, John Boehner. Whenever that happened, Boehner canceled the vote, which was supposed to happen at noon today. That was among the Republicans, not of the entire House of Representatives, just among the Republicans. And I think he saw that he did not have the votes that he thought he had. And in just an interview a few minutes ago, I think on Fox, I'm not sure about where it was. I didn't see it. I heard about it. They were interviewing Daniel Webster and said, why do you think he postponed? Why do you think Boehner postponed the vote? He said, well, there might be many reasons. He said, I don't know what the reason is. I don't know all the words that he used. He said, I do know one thing. If I had dropped out of the race, they would have taken the vote. And so, there you go. But I hope you'll pray for that situation. And I don't know what is happening, but I do know that God knows what's happening.
Amen.
And so we trust Him with all things. And guards are down here, and at fellowship time, I hope you'll come down, invite Sharon a card, and Jose is here, and Helene Cabello is here, Cabello. And so I hope you'll do that. Brother Herb, come pray for us and pray that God will bless. And I do ask you to pray for the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. Becky and I are leaving Sunday night after church and driving part of the way so I can get there early. And then a number of you are leaving on the bus on Monday morning. And it'll be a good time together. This was on an extended conference call with Dr. David Gibbs, our moderator for this year, and the vice moderator, Tim Cruz. And they are so excited. Now, I don't know about this. This is what they tell me. Now, Dr. Gibbs, of course, with Christian Law Association, the president of that and the lawyer, the lead lawyer of the group, he says that they have contacted, personally talked to, he and his staff have talked to 4,500 preachers with a very positive reception about being there next week. So I don't know what's going to happen. There may be 15 there. I don't know. But no, there'll be more than that because we'll all be there. But it'll be a good time. And if somebody would like to go, there's still time to go. I mean, it's not, it's not a matter of running out of room on the bus right now. So that'll be fine. But Herb, thank you so much. Thank you for all you do here at the church. Thank you for your work on the outside and the mowing and heading up that crew and getting them boys cracking. I like that. And I want you to lead us in prayer tonight.
Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to come before your throne of grace tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and grace that you have bestowed on us through your Son. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we are needy people, as you well know. And Father, in all these requests that Brother Mark went through tonight, Lord, with the different ones that are sick, Lord, with different diseases, Lord, and whatever the case be in their life, Lord, we just pray, Father, that your hand would be near them, Lord, that you'd touch their bodies. Father, lift them up. Just encourage them. Give them grace for the moment, Lord, for each time, each day, Lord, each moment. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this church and for the leadership here, Father, and the pastor and his staff, Lord, and we thank you for the outreach of this church and that reaches out all over the world, Lord, and the missionaries. Father, we just pray for each one, Lord, each family, Lord, and Lord, we pray that you give them souls for their labor. Father, we lift them all up to you for their needs physically and spiritually. We just thank you now for the time together that we can come together here, Lord, and gather around your word and sing praises to your name, Lord, and lift Jesus up, Father, and praise him. And Lord, we want to do that with a real true heart tonight, Father. May we just block out the world, Father. Like Pastor said, Lord, we think of our nation, Father, as it's just seems like it's slowly sliding into a pit, Father, that just, Lord, we just don't know what to do. But Lord, yet we study your word. We, at least I do, Lord, I get excited because these are exciting times, Father. Lord, when you give the parable of the fig tree, and which represents Israel, and when Israel came as a nation in 1948, Lord, the beginning of that prophecy, we thank you for that, Lord, and you said that generation would not pass away until all things were fulfilled. And Lord, all the signs that are coming, Lord, of your coming, Lord, we pray for that event to take place. But until that time, Lord, we pray for families, loved ones, Lord, that are lost, loved ones that are not walking with you, Father. Each one here in this room tonight, Father, has someone on their heart that we lift them up to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would have the openness, Lord, to be able to work in their lives, convict them of their sin, Father, convict them of their walk, and bring them back into the fold, or save them, Lord. And so tonight, Lord, we ask that that be done. And we just, again, Lord, we just ask thy blessing on this time tonight, Lord, and as we just praise your name. As we study your word, help us to apply those truths to our lives, Lord, that we might be the person you want us to be as we strive to be more and more like your son. We thank you now for the many blessings you've given us, Lord, and again for this nation, Lord, we pray that your will be done in the House of Representatives, like Pastor said, Lord. We pray for a godly man that will stand up for what's right, just speak the truth, and let it fall where it may. Lord, we thank you now for what you're going to do tonight. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, I love this song. 527. I know whom I have believed. Remain seated. You can just sing this from your heart unto the Lord now. Don't sing it quietly. Sing it out. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me have made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor how believing in his word brought peace with him there. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able unto him against that day.
Well, I think on that last verse, between all of us, we sang all the verses. I'm not sure about that, but I think so. And John and Laura, good to see your family here with us again tonight. I saw y'all here Sunday night, sitting right there in Poland. Looked at you, sitting right there. And how about that? That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That you can do that. Let's see, what time was it? Well, it was midnight when the service started over there. And but I watched it to the end, all the way through. And By that time, I was wide awake, so I watched some of Richard Wallace's service out in Texas, and I just jumped around the internet and watched some other people, you know, that was going. But we have some other visitors with us tonight. Also, you're going to meet one visitor in just a little while. Helen, good to have your sister and her son here tonight. Good to have them here with us, and they're going to sing in just a little while. Helen and her sister is. And who's going to introduce these folks right back here? Kim, are you going to introduce? Who's going to introduce these? Kaylee, okay. All right, well, good. Good to have you tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Mrs. Beavers, are you going to introduce your guests here tonight? Fantastic. Wonderful. 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 Good to have you. Any other visitors here with us on a Thursday night? On a Thursday night. You people are weird. Come to church on Thursday night. Okay. Okay. Anyone else at all? All right. Cindy, introduce your guest. Oh, okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. And Children's Music Academy is just, they're off and going. I was in there for just a minute, and I said, y'all are ready to go to your instruments. I could tell they were. And so they get in there and got started early. They've done that the last couple of weeks. And so that is a very, very good thing. Any announcements we have for right now other than what we've already said? I want to remember to put these cards down here. We're going to fellowship in just a little while. And I want you to come down and pick up the cards, write a note to these folks.
All right. Now, on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, if we can have some men join us. I had one lady say, I have a pressure washer, and I know how to use it. It's a good one, and I can do it. I said, well, come on, bring it on. But we need some people stationed different places where we'll assign you to different buildings, different sides of the building, and that type of thing. We have the outside of this auditorium, and then the activities building, and this building, and then the Levitt House as well. And there's some severe areas. It's not in terrible shape, but there's some areas where the mildew is just unsightly. And so we've got the spray to spray on that. You know, pump it up and spray, and so that stuff will come off. If you'll help us with that by bringing pressure washers, that would be marvelous. Please bring your hose as well. We don't have enough hoses for everyone, so bring your hose in order to connect to the water supply. And then if there are some men who would help us with perhaps trimming some of our trees, we're not topping them. We just have some limbs that are coming down and get a little in people's face and running against vans and that kind of thing. So the trees are marked, and so we need to limb up some of these. That would be a big help. Then we could use some folks to just maybe go around in their pickup truck and pick up the limbs that are cut. You know, and pick those up, throw them in the truck, and take them out back, and we're going to gather them up. So that would be a marvelous help, a jump start on next Saturday. So next Saturday is the big cleanup and setup, and we do one of those spit shines, one of those white glove treatments on the insides of the church. And so if you could help us with that, and we also need some folks to help put out some mulch. And we'll have bags of mulch, and you can help spread that out, make everything look so nice. And the weeds are down. Folks have been spraying and weeding and all that kind of thing, so we don't have a lot of weed pulling to do. We don't have that this time. So perhaps you could just help us with some of these types of things. Setting up tables and chairs in this building and outside as well for the dinner. And so big day, anniversary Sunday, 19 years of ministry. What a blessing. Now, I'll tell you something. This is a miracle. It truly is. This is a God thing. Because when people stop by, there have been folks that have stopped by the church and asked questions and want to know what kind of church we are and that kind of thing. And when we've said that, well, Pastor came here almost 19 years ago and started with four families, and none of this property, none of these buildings, 19 years. Person might think, you know, when they see this ministry, they might see, well, maybe 55 years of work, you know, 19 years of God's goodness to us. So we have a lot to be thankful for to Almighty God. And so it's a time of celebration. Invite folks. We're going to have a big meal. And that's always a wonderful kind of a pinnacle top on top of all the music and the preaching and all of this. Dr. Mike Norris is going to be here with us from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Looking forward to this. He pastored just down the street from us for a while, and before he went to Murfreesboro, and had a great relationship, great rapport with him, and he's a wonderful man of God, doing a great work there in Murfreesboro. Thank you, preacher.
Well, talking about these Saturday work days, sounds like we got company coming. We get, need to get everything cleaned up, get everything just looking real good, and I hope you'll bring company with you. We want everybody to come. I told someone today, who did I tell? I think I told Bob Leatherwood today. I said, I want everybody who's ever been through the doors of this church in the last 19 years, I want them to be here. Now, I don't know where we'd put them, but, you know, we'll stand them around somewhere. And I hope you'll get in the choir, sing in the anniversary choir, play in the orchestra, bring folks in with you, stay and eat and have a good time. And you'll enjoy Brother Mike Norris. He's a West Virginia boy, and so he's a West Virginia preacher. Now, he's from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and he's gotten a little highbrow since he's been there. But he will, you know, he'll come down and be on our level, I'm sure. And you'll enjoy Mike. What a blessing. He's a good friend and a good fella, and I thank God for him. It is going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And I have right here, it says right here. Now, just, you know, that's a good-looking pen. And it feels good. And it writes good. I already got mine. And it says, Volusia County Baptist Church, 19 years of ministry. And that's just very subtle on there, not to take away from the beauty of the pen. Because it is really a lovely pen, and it's a nice writing instrument. I'm really surprised. I better not ask how much we paid for them. But it wasn't too much. I know that. But I am amazed that we got them for the price we did. And I was talking with, emailing back and forth with the manager down at the branch where we do business with Fidelity Bank. And she had invited me to come down. They're celebrating 1 year in Orange City on Monday the 19th. And she said, we want you to come, and we want you to ask the Lord's blessing on the refreshments. I said, okay, I'll do that. I said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to come be with us for our 19th birthday. We're having our 19th birthday the day before. She said, I'll be there.
Amen.
I'll be there. And so that's a good thing. And the Lord is blessing in so many ways, and I thank the Lord for it. As a couple back here got saved, 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning? 2 weeks ago? They said, we want to be baptized Sunday.
Amen.
We want to be baptized Sunday. So I said, we'll get the water warm. We'll have it ready for you. And I promise not to hold you underwater more than 3 minutes. I promise, you know, that that'll be so good. And we'll have a good time together. I just need to look at you a minute. I got back and I came back onto the property, and I was walking in. Somebody said, where are you going? I said, I'm going in to see if they've changed the lock on my door. I want to see if I can still get in my office. And I was able to. And so I'm glad for that. Glad for that. Well, there's a little chorus we sing that says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and fight a good fight. Be strong in the Lord. Just pray and do right. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Stand up and help me sing it. Will you do that? If you don't know it, you'll learn it. You'll learn it real quickly. Here it goes. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Fight a good fight. Be strong in the Lord. Just pray and do right. Be strong. Be strong. That's very good. That's very good. Let's do it again. And this time, whenever we come to that be strong, we'll cut it off just a little bit, okay? Give a little break right there. Here we go. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Fight a good fight. Be strong.
Very good. Don't forget the cards down here. Greet one another. Meet somebody you don't know. Shake hands with them. Introduce yourself. To come, if you will, at this time, and we'll receive our offering tonight. Appreciate the good offering you gave to Brother Russ last week, and we rounded it up. What do we have in here? 413.53. We rounded it up, I think, to 425, and he was in town on vacation, and they were staying at the Levitt House, and so that's a good thing, a good young man. I don't know whether he said anything about this or not. I did not hear him in his message. Did he say anything about the previous Sunday at their church?
I didn't remember him saying.
Okay, the previous Sunday, they left on Monday, and of course he was here Thursday, a week ago today. They left on that Monday, but the Sunday before they left, they'd had a special day at their church. And I've known this church for a long time. And his granddad is a good friend of mine. And, of course, his dad's a friend of mine, too. But his granddad, we've been friends for a long time. They had an absolutely amazing, I think over 400 they had in this church. And the church, I think, whenever I knew the church, it averaged 125 to 150. And this young man has just really done a good job with that. And so I appreciate your kindness. We'll give tonight to the Benevolent Fund. And if you feel free to do that and you want to do that, I want you to take advantage of this opportunity to give to that. And we always have those needs. And so we'll replenish that a little bit tonight if you'll do that. Sunday also, the 18th. I told everybody I've been talking to. I said, I just want you to know, you're talking to a pastor of a debt-free church. I mean, it's done. The check is, I don't think it's a check. I think it was a wire transfer. And so it's all done. It's taken care of. And on Sunday the 18th, we're going to start a fire in this place. We're going to have something. I don't know what kind of a tray we'll have, but we'll have some kind of a tray or something, and we'll take the mortgage. Now, it will not be the original mortgage. You know that. It'll be a copy of it, but it'll be that mortgage, and we're going to set fire to it, and we're going to burn the mortgage. Now, that's a wonderful experience in the life of a church. It just is a marvelous experience. And so in 19 years, this is the second time we've done this. And so I guess you burn it and sign another one. But that'll be a good thing. That'll be a good thing to do. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you for your presence, your people that are here. And Lord, I pray that everything we do will be pleasing to you. What a joy it is for me, Lord, to be home and to see these people and to be here and to feel your presence and to hear the good music and to hear the folks sing. And Father, it's just wonderful. And we look forward to the anniversary Sunday and all the things in preparation for that. I ask you to bless, make us a blessing, even this offering tonight, that we can be a blessing to others in our congregation especially, as well as other people, but in our congregation especially, people who have needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Marvelous to have guests when they're in visiting family, but to have guests of the family that sing, now that's an extra blessing. It's good to have Martha Tucker, sister of Helen Carling. They're coming to sing. God bless you.
That's not just song. That's solid fact. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. And he has, Helen. None of us thought whenever Jim left that you'd do as well as you've done. And Eleanor, that's true. That's true. And I know you're experiencing that. And all of us. All of us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I believe that's where we were. We've been looking at the comparisons, 9 comparisons of Christ and the Antichrist. And then we've been looking at 18 contrasts between Christ and the Antichrist. And we're down now to number 10 in the contrast, and I sure would like to get through this tonight and get right back to the text. But I don't know that that'll happen, because I do want to read the first 12 verses again to reintroduce us to what's being said here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, 1 and 2 Thessalonians both have much to do with the second coming of Christ. I beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Now, shaken in mind, wow. Or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Can you believe in the early days of the church people would do that kind of stuff? As the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And every man of sin, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that son of perdition is son of damnation. Really, child of hell. It's what it is. I'll say more about that later as we come down through here. But now it comes to describe him in verses 4 through 12 and what he does. Who opposeth and exalteth himself. Remember it says he opposeth. I've got to just read, because if I don't read, I'm not going to get through this. But he opposes God. And exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What an impostor. What an impostor. What an anti-Christ. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. There's something that holds that back. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Sin's already in the world. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now at the rapture of the church, the exact opposite thing is going to happen from what happened on the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came. And the indwelling presence in those who make up the church. At the rapture of the church, the believers are going to be caught out. And there'll be a different relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in the world all the way from creation. He's God. And so the Holy Spirit was in the world. God's Spirit, it speaks of in Genesis chapter 6. as the flood is coming, shall not always strive with man. In that day, it was like that. But there was not an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit worked in the prophets. The Holy Spirit worked in David's life. The Holy Spirit worked all the way through. But in the New Testament, when Jesus ascended back to heaven and said, I will send you another comforter, there was a different relationship entirely that took place. So the Holy Spirit indwells us. And whenever the church is taken out, that thing is going to go back. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit will not be on the earth anymore or speak to people anymore. But it will not be in the same relationship. It will be like it was before Pentecost. He who now letteth or hindereth, old English word for hinder, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And the Holy Spirit is that hinderer. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked, capital W-I-C-K-E-D, the wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now that's going to happen. It's not going to happen as soon as he's revealed, but that is going to happen. That's going to be his end. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. What a deceiver. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And the Word of God is the truth. And they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What a sad, sad situation that God will deceive. It seems as if those who had opportunity were confronted with the gospel, and especially if they turned from the gospel and just said, no, I don't believe that. I don't want any of that. I don't want anything of God. I don't want anything of the Spirit of God. I don't want anything of the Bible. I don't like that. I don't want that. Don't want to have anything to do with it. God says, okay, I will give you what you want. You want your way? You can have your way. You can have it. Sad, sad is the condition of any person that says that, and God says to them, okay, have it your way. Just go on. I won't bother you anymore. I won't bother you anymore. I won't come by your house anymore. I won't do that. Sad the situation of a person that that happens to. Now, we're going to continue with the contrast between Christ and the Antichrist. Number 10. I don't know if you still have these sheets or not. Probably we should redo them and give them out again. But if you have number 10, Christ is the Holy One. That's how he's referred to. He is the Holy One of God. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, we take just maybe one verse that says this. But ye denied the Holy One. Now this is Peter preaching. I'm sorry. Yeah, Peter preaching. Peter preaching. And in this he says to the Jews there, ye denied the Holy One and the just. And you desired a murderer be granted unto you. Now they knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew the cry before Pilate, release unto us who? Barabbas. Release unto us Barabbas. He said, you denied the Holy One. You denied the one who was the Holy One, and you desired a murderer be granted unto you. Now, the Antichrist is the lawless one. The lawless one. And the word wicked here, that is the title that's given to him, the wicked there in verse 8 that we emphasized, the wicked, where wicked is capitalized there as a name that's given to him, and it's God's name for him, that wicked shall be revealed. That's the Antichrist. And that wicked there means lawless. Lawless. Rebellion against God's law. Nothing to do with God's law. So here you have Christ the Holy One, and you have the Antichrist, the wicked one. It seems to me, sensible people, if given a choice between the wicked one and the holy one, would say, oh, we want the holy one. But they don't do that. They say, we want the wicked one. Give us the wicked one. What a contrast. Number 11. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Christ was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. The Antichrist, in this same chapter right here, in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, the man of sin, be revealed. So here you have the man of sorrows, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sin, the man of sin. What a contrast. What a contrast between the two. Now, you can just study that as far as you want to. That's not my purpose in this, to study this out. It's just to give you these things. Number 12. Christ is called the Son of God. Oh, all through. Everywhere. But in Luke chapter 1, in the annunciation of his birth, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall have come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Now the Antichrist, right here, in the same chapter we're looking at, we see what he's called. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition. The son of the devil, literally. Literally, son of perdition is a child of hell. He's a child of hell, is what it is. That man of sin, in verse 3. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And of course, there's a reference to Judas as being that. Therefore, some people think the Antichrist will be a reincarnation of Judas. But I don't think that perdition has just one son. I think that perdition has many sons, perhaps. But this is the son of perdition. Much in the way that we are children of God. But Jesus Christ was the unique only begotten Son of God. Okay? Verse 13. And not verse 13, number 13. Number 13. Christ is the mystery of godliness. What a wonderful thing. The mystery of godliness. Now, whenever a mystery is revealed, then the mysteriousness of it is taken away. But Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness. Now, sometimes a magician, when he's doing a trick, will take time, sometimes, not often, but sometimes they will take time to show you how they do the trick. And whenever they do that, you say, oh, because they reveal the mystery about it. Of course, a lot of times whenever they do that, they do another thing that confuses you even more. But the mystery of godliness is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, the Antichrist is called the mystery of iniquity, right here in verse 7, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, it is mysterious both ways. The workings of sin and the evil one, I am just absolutely amazed at the workings of that. At how people just buy into things that are, from my standpoint, unbelievable. And of course, the mystery that I buy into of godliness is unbelievable to them. But it's just amazing the things that
that people believe. Unbelievable, the things that people believe. That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? Number 14. Christ is the seed of the woman. And I just go ahead and give the other about the Antichrist. He's the seed of the serpent. Now, of course, we know the serpent. In Genesis chapter 3, we know that that was the devil in the serpent. He inhabited the serpent, came to Eve. Genesis chapter 3:15 says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, of course, nobody ever in any reproductive class or situation would talk about the seed of the woman, because it's the seed of the man that produces children. And from the woman is the egg. But here, he is called, the Redeemer is called, the Promised One, the Messiah, is called the seed of the woman. And the serpent's seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It shall bruise thy head. He doesn't even personify it there. Now, this is Genesis 3:15. That's quite a contrast in ancestry. Genesis 3:15 has a technical word, a technical theological word that is given to it. Protovangelium. Protovangelium. Protovangelium is first mention. First mention. Proto is the first. First mention. Evangelium is the first mention of the gospel. The first mention of a Savior that will come. And it comes immediately. It comes immediately when sin comes into the world. You know, sin in the Garden of Eden did not take God by surprise. I'm going to say it again. Some of you can quote it. I'm going to say it till all of you can quote it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knew that if they ever acted in creation, they would have to act in redemption. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, God did not ordain that sin, as some would teach. But the sin did not take God by surprise. And before the sin ever came, there was the plan in place to deal with it. I don't think the devil knew that. I don't think Lucifer, when he was cast out of heaven, knew that. But God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit had worked that out. And the counsel and the oneness of the Trinity, that had been settled before creation ever took place. That was settled. Someone told a story a long time ago in the days of train travel, and there's been some revival of that, but not much. But communication was not as good as it is now, and there were frequently train wrecks, not every day, but, you know, there were train wrecks. And sometimes two passenger trains would be on the same track and headed toward each other. And someone would be aware of that, though they may have lost contact with the engineers of those trains. For whatever reason, that broke down. But they knew. They knew those two trains were going to collide. And they had figured where they were going to collide. They figured where the impact was going to be. And they got in touch with people. And before those trains ever hit together, there were rescue crews, people that could help treat the wounded and deal with things. They were on their way to that place. Before man ever sinned, God already had a rescue team on the way. He already had it taken care of. He had it well on the way. And God said to the serpent, Lucifer in the form of a servant, He said, your seed will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. A prophecy of the virgin birth. But the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. Now you'll make a wound on him. But he's going to have done with you. He's going to destroy you, as it says right here, with the brightness of his coming. He'll destroy you. Wonderful thing. We move along. Number 15. John chapter 1, verse 36. Looking upon Jesus, John the Baptist said, he saw him walking and he said, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Christ is the Lamb. What a beautiful picture that is. He is the Lamb. The Antichrist is the beast. It's a rather intricate passage, and I would not go to all of it, but Revelation 13 speaks so much to this relationship of the Antichrist as a beast. And in the first verse, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The name of blasphemy. I do not know what that is, but I do know that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he opposes everything that is God, exalts himself, and sits in the temple as if he was God, and does things as if he is God. There are 2 aspects to blasphemy. One aspect of blasphemy is to bring God down to making him like mortal man. The other aspect of blasphemy is exalting man to the level of God, to make man deity, to make deity only human, and to make a human deity. That's blasphemy. And whatever the name is, that's the name that he wears on every one of his heads. The Lamb versus the beast. Number 16. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, in that great passage concerning the husband-wife relationship and comparing that to the relationship of Jesus Christ as the church, it says very clearly that Christ loves His bride. He loves His bride. Now, that's just, God is love and God loves the world, but God loves His bride. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I've been reading Hebrews, first 4 chapters this month with study the scriptures, search the scriptures, so I got that Hebrews on my mind. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The only thing that motivates that is love. Whenever I'm talking to a couple getting ready to get married or doing a family seminar, I said, I must tell you, the church is not always lovely. Man, I've been in some ugly churches. I mean some ugly churches. I mean that acted like a bunch of heathen. But Jesus Christ loves the church. He loves His bride and gave Himself for it. Now, it's interesting that the Antichrist, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 16, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, now we read a minute ago in chapter 13, now we come back to that same beast in chapter 17, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now, this is the bride of the Antichrist. And the bride of the Antichrist is false religion, idolatrous religion. And this bride of the Antichrist is the one on whom he rides to power. But after the Antichrist rides to power, look what he says he does. They shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Of those two, which one would you want to serve? Which one would you want to be the bride of? Wow. 17. We want to finish 18 too. Okay. I won't take time to read the entire passage from Matthew chapter 4. But you know the story. Matthew chapter 4 is the temptation of Christ. Matthew chapter 4 is Jesus Christ fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that time, the devil comes to him and says, make a deal with you. Okay? Make a deal with you. And he starts questioning things. He starts, how about do this? How about do that? And finally, he takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. As if he didn't know. Stupid. Showeth him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these will I give thee. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want the kingdoms of the world? I've got them. And I will give them to you. The deal with the devil. Cut a deal with the devil. All kinds of old novels and stories and everything written about the deal with the devil. Poems written, everything. I'll give them unto thee if you'll fall down and worship me. Now, even I can see through that. You may give me that, but if I fall down and worship you, who's in charge? Okay? And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Christ refused power from Satan. Have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it. Not even if it comes to him in the form of one of his disciples. Oh, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord, Peter says. No, Romans are not going to take you. The Jewish leaders are not going to take you. No, we're not going to let that happen. Jesus said, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. Now, the Antichrist receives his power from Satan. That's a dramatic contrast. In Revelation chapter 13, a marvelous passage, I don't know anything to do except read this, okay? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. All these significant symbols. And the dragon gave him power and his seat with great authority. Now we know the dragon is the devil, Satan himself. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. They were filled with awe and they worshiped the dragon, the devil, what he wanted Jesus to do. They worshiped the dragon. That's what he wants. He wants worship. Worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. He gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. Now I must tell you, the world is ready for that whenever they are ready to hear. Jesus was just another man. There was nothing special about him. He was not God. And if you want to talk about the God of the Bible, well, that's just, you know, that's just one person's opinion, you know. And there's no God and all this kind of stuff. We are gods unto ourselves. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's the Antichrist. He accepts this power from Satan. Number 18. And then we're going to get back to the text. Next week we'll get back to the text. But I think the comparisons and the contrasts, I know they've been beneficial for my life, and I trust to some extent to your life also. This is an interesting thing. Some people are really into this. I'm not particularly into this, but it is an interesting thing. The name of Jesus has the numerical value of 888. Now, 8 is the number of resurrection, the number of new beginnings. It's just that number, whenever you... There were 8 resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in the Word of God. That's the ones we know of. That's the ones God chose to record for us and leave us in the Bible. So that number is significant in that it's resurrection, new beginning. Now, the number 888 is 8 times... This is really clever... 8 times 111. Now the number 1 represents God. Always represents God. So whenever you have 111, you have one number, 3 ones, 3 and 1. You have the Trinity in one number. And you have 8 with new beginnings. And then you have 888. And so you have the complete number. Now where do they get that? This is from the Koine Greek, the New Testament Greek. New Testament Greek. The Greek name for Jesus, Iesus. The letters of his name with the numerical value add up to 888. Resurrection. New beginning. Contrast that with the Antichrist. The Antichrist, his number is given in Revelation chapter 13. The last verse of that chapter. Here's wisdom. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. His number is 666. It's the number of a man. 3 times. 666. Six. That's his number. That's the value of his number. It's the number of a man. Of course, in Revelation 13, it talks about this number. And we assume that it's going to be in an Arabic number like we write. Numbers like we write. Not like some other languages would have and so forth like that. But... 666. This is the number. We can go on with this, but that's a dramatic contrast right there in that 18th contrast. So we've looked at the 9 comparisons and 18 contrasts. It's taken a long time, but I hope it's stirred some interest and perhaps been informative. And we will move back and really pick up with this and walk through these verses. And then we'll come down to verse 13 very quickly. We're bound to give thanks. Boy, it's good to get past the Antichrist and get back to bound to give thanks for the saints. And that's good. The saints at Thessalonica and the saints in Orange City and the saints in DeLand and Deltona and DeBary. Are there any saints in DeBary? Yeah, I guess there are some saints in DeBary. But, okay, very good. We've got prayer requests. Jenny has them at the back. If you'd take a request from tonight's going to people's homes and ask if they have things that they would like to have prayed for, if you'd take these and make, whenever you take one of the sheets, now you make a commitment to praying for them until next Thursday. You pray for them all week long. These are people in our neighborhood, and our people of our church have been to their doors tonight and said, we're just here to ask if we can pray for you. And they say, yes, we want you to pray. And so these are those requests. Well, let's stand together. I am glad to walk through this with you. As I said, I trust to some benefit, but I'm glad to walk through it. I'm glad to be out the other side of it. And I think it's good for us to study, but I don't want to spend undue time with this. I want to get back right to the text. Father, I thank you for the truth that has been sung here tonight. I thank you for the fact that you do take care of us. And Lord, even in the time that we study about here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we do not know what we face even before that time, but I know you'll take care of us. You promised to do that. You're good as your word. So now, Lord, we ask you to watch over us, claiming the fact that you will watch over us. Watch as we go from here. I pray that you'll bless in the final preparations for Southwide, Lord, and also the final preparations in the cleaning days here at the church and cleaning up outside and inside and all those things. And, Father, all the setup for our anniversary Sunday. I pray, Lord, you'll give us a great day. Give Brother Norris a great message for our hearts that day. I pray you'll bless all the music and all the wonderful things that are planned. So exciting, Lord. I thank you for it and pray it'll make it a wonderful day in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.